Transit of Venus by Maureen Hunter. France, March 1760.
Now,
well,
I've ridden all night straight into a driving rain, and all you can say is, well,
we've got a ship.
That's more like it.
We've got a ship.
We've got a ship, Demolay. She's called the Berrien. She sails on the 26th.
From?
Brest. She's a troop ship, but she'll get us there all right.
How soon do we leave?
As soon as we're packed. Tomorrow. The roads are treacherous. It will be slow going all the way to the sea. Well, what are you waiting for? Get over here and have a drink with me. If this isn't a night for a celebration, there will never be one in our lifetime. To India. May the skies be clear.
To India. And the ship that takes us there.
You're grinning like a maniac.
No more than you.
I am a maniac. Haven't I ridden 6 hours through the rain? I'm soaked to the bone. What a ride, Demaray. What a night.
Oh, it can't be true. I must be dreaming.
It's no dream, I promise you that.
A troop ship.
A troop ship.
I suppose that means we might see action.
Oh, that's been taken care of.
What do you mean?
I mean that in my pocket, Demaray, right here over my heart lies a letter telling any damned Englishman we run into to back off and let us through.
How did you get it?
Delisle got it.
How?
He wrote to the British Admiralty, and damned if they didn't answer. Here, you know English. Read it for yourself.
To the captains and commanders of His Majesty's ships and vessels. Whereas the Academy of Sciences at Paris has appointed several of its members to proceed to different parts of the world to observe the transit of Venus over the sun, one of whom, the bearer, Monsieur le Gentil de la Galassière, is to make such observations from India, and where...
My God, the way they talk!
The said Monsieur de la Galassière must not meet with any interruption in his travels. You are hereby most strictly required and directed. This is incredible! Not to molest his person or effects... That includes me, I take it, upon any account, but to suffer him to proceed without delay in the execution of his design. Remarkable.
It is remarkable. Unfortunately, it has its limitations.
Such as?
If we do run into the English, they'll come at us cannons blazing, and the reading of any documents will be strictly an afterthought. But we won't tell the women that. How are they?
The women? Fine.
All of them?
All of them.
Even the little stubborn one who leads us by the nose?
Even her.
Good. To Venus. And the secrets she will share with us.
To Venus.
Now, you go and finish dressing. I'll find some clothes that are clean and dry. Then we'll set to work. We have a lot to do and very little time. Demaray, don't wake anyone. The longer we keep the women in the dark, the more we'll accomplish.
There you are, Celeste. No kiss for your mother this morning? Sit down, dear, quickly. I set out some work for you there. Celeste? Pick it up, please, and get started. We can't have you sitting here empty-handed when she comes in. It's bad enough you should be late.
A minute or two.
Please, pick it up, Celeste.
All right.
You look pale. You didn't sleep?
On the contrary.
You don't look as though you have. You've lost all the colour you had when you came home. I wish you'd let me mix you up one of my special remedies. 3 sips will cure you of anything. I'm only trying to make you smile.
I loathe mending.
Perhaps you'd prefer to darn, and there's a bundle of socks there.
Loathe darning, too.
You seem to loathe everything these days that smacks of work.
Only if it requires a needle.
You can't live in this house and not contribute, Celeste. Not under any circumstances. Even Madame Sylvie contributes in her own way. As a matter of fact, considering her position...
He's back, you know.
I know.
Have you seen him?
No.
Has Madame Sylvie?
I've no idea.
If he's seen her before seeing me...
Celeste! I can't imagine what makes you think he's under any obligation...
Did he send down for breakfast?
If I tell you, will you do some work?
Did he?
Yes.
One breakfast or two?
Two. One for him and one for Demaray. Now, that's it, Celeste. That's all I know.
So they're holed up in there, the two of them. Doing what, I wonder? Plotting how to keep us in the dark.
Oh, I doubt that. I doubt very much if we're on their minds at all. Why do you look at me like that? I know how you feel about him, Celeste, but you can't expect him to feel the same about you.
Mother, just don't talk about it, please. You know I can't bear it.
Celeste, for pity's sake!
Please!
We can't go on like this forever, you know. We can't keep dancing around the subject. Sooner or later, difficult as it is, we shall have to discuss it. Are you afraid that I'll be critical of you? How could I be? How can I criticise you for having feelings that I myself have had? I know exactly how you feel about him. And it's because I know that I think I can... I want to help you. Can't you see that? How am I to help you if you weren't... Celeste!
Celeste, oh, excuse me. Where are you off to in such a hurry?
Come and sit down, Celeste.
Look at it, would you? If it would only rain again instead of hanging there. I have no stomach for this kind of weather. It's so...
dreary?
I was going to say so English. Well, what do we have this morning? Mending? Oh, joy.
There's no need for you to do that, madame, if you'd rather not. Not now that Celeste is here. They did teach her something at that convent, you know. She sews quite a fine seam when she puts her mind to it. And she's anxious to keep her hand in.
Are you, Celeste?
Well, if you want to know the truth...
spare us the truth, Celeste, would you? On such an English day.
I suppose you know my son is back?
Have you seen him?
No, Celeste, I haven't. I imagine he'll come looking for us in his own good time.
I don't see why we should have to sit and wait until it suits him to see us.
Celeste!
Well, after all, there are three of us and only one of him.
Forgive her, madame.
She has a point. I confess to feeling a little annoyed with him myself. Not only annoyed, but curious. What do you suppose has happened?
I think he's got a ship.
Surely not. Where would he get a ship in wartime? That would be next to impossible.
Not for him.
Even for him. That's a wild guess, nothing more. She has no way of knowing, madame.
He's got a ship, I can feel it.
Celeste, please, this is the last thing madame wants to hear.
Never mind, Margot. There's enough trouble in the world this morning, don't you think, without our squabbling? What is it today? The 10th? And March, of course. In my entire life, I don't believe that any good thing ever came to me in March.
I'm sorry, madame. I shouldn't have said it.
On the contrary, Celeste. You've done me a service. You've prepared me for a possibility I'd convinced myself I needn't consider. I was so certain that with the war...
That's what we all thought, madame.
Do you see? I should have known. Once he'd made up his mind, he'd hardly let a little thing like a war stop.
What will you do, madame? Will you send for him?
Send for him? Oh, no, I think not. Patience gets the better of the buttermilk. You've heard that expression, I think.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't sit here waiting patiently for the privilege of hearing his announcement.
Celeste!
You'd better stay, Celeste.
Bugger him!
This has become a very complicated household.
I'm so sorry, madame.
Margot, you must stop apologizing. It's become quite tedious. Oh, God. Now I've hurt your feelings.
No.
I have.
I feel as if I'm losing her, madame. In my dreams, I see her fall. I seem to have set a very bad example.
Nonsense. You've been with us now 10 years, Margot. A better housekeeper, a better companion I have never had. But you have one fault. You want none of the credit when things go well and all of it when things go wrong. That's not fair of you. We're bound up in this, every one of us. Come now. Why so pensive?
I was just trying to imagine where a 15-year-old girl would learn a word like that.
Like what? Like bugger? Not from the nuns.
Good morning, Mother.
Ah, there you are.
How are you?
Nearly dead, I think.
You always say that when I've been away.
Well, one of these days it will be true.
Margot?
Monsieur?
You're well, I hope?
Very well.
Good.
Oh, you'll want coffee, madame. I'll see to it myself, I think.
Margot,
with a little honey, so as not to burn the chest?
Of course.
You'll join me, won't you, Guillaume? Oh, don't look so worried. I promise not to pester you with questions about Paris, or the weather, or the roads, or how well you slept last night.
I slept very well.
Oh, on horseback?
I never managed to get anything past you, do I? Mother, there's something I have to tell you.
You've got a ship.
Thank you.
I hope you realize that you owe it all to me. I prayed you wouldn't get one, which, of course, considering my unique relationship with God, virtually ensured that you would.
It's a troop ship, actually, sir. We won't be without protection.
Ah.
And if we should run into trouble, I'll be carrying a letter from the First Lord of the British Admiralty, which guarantees a safe passage.
Really? How impressive. Will they read it after the attack, do you think? Or before?
Try to be happy for me, Mother. This is what I've worked toward since the day I discovered astronomy.
You'll leave immediately?
Tomorrow morning.
How are the roads?
As smooth as the floor of this room.
Liar. But look at me fretting about the roads. The roads are now the least of my concerns.
I'm going to be fine, Mother. I have no doubt about that. In 3 years' time, we'll be sitting here together, you and I and Celeste, with all my adventures behind us and no need to be separated again. Where is she, by the way? I thought she might be here with you.
She was. She left. I don't know where she's gone, but I'd relish telling you what her parting words were.
I'd better see her.
Guillaume, spare me a minute or two. I know how much it means to you to be able to take this trip. I do know that, in spite of the way I behave. I know you've waited a very long time.
7 years.
And that for you, it's both an opportunity and an adventure.
And an obligation, Mother. I owe it to the Academy and to France. After all,
yes, yes, I know all about these obligations. What concerns me is the mess you're leaving behind.
It's all become a little awkward.
It certainly has.
It will sort itself out while I am gone.
Oh, that's just the point. It won't sort itself out. It's up to you to do that. Now, before you leave.
What would you like me to do?
I'd like you to clarify your intentions.
Surely my intentions are obvious.
To whom?
To everyone.
Oh, Guillaume, you're 35 years old. You've had a great many women in your life.
That's right, I have.
I don't say that out of pride.
Or out of shame, I hope.
All I'm saying is, at a certain point, you lose credibility.
With whom?
With women. Oh, come. You're not going to make me lead you through this. You know what I'm talking about. No one seems to know what to believe. The one you say you love doubts you. The one you turn your back on dares to hope.
Margot has no business to hope. But that sounds callous, but it's true. I never pretended our relationship was anything but what it was.
A convenience? I'm sorry, but you see, that's just my point. Look at the uncertainty you've created. Uncertainty, antagonism, despair. The house is awash in it.
If I'd known I was going to fall in love with Celeste, I'd have stayed well away from her mother. Believe me, well away. How was I to know? Little Celeste, in my mind, she was always 5 years old.
I'm not asking you to defend your behavior. I'm asking you to address the problem you've created. I have to live in this house while you're away. I prefer that it didn't function like an armed camp.
Yes, all right. Whatever you like.
It's Margot in particular that I...
I'll speak to her.
It's not my place, you see, and it's very awkward for me knowing what I know.
I understand. I'm sorry. There's some part of me, it seems, has never managed to believe it. I didn't think I'd ever want to marry, or if I did, it would be late in life when there was nothing left to do, but... I look at Celeste. My knees shake like a schoolboy's. Celeste, I'll never understand it. One day she was a child and the next... And when I think how easily I might have missed her if I'd left 6 months ago, as I'd hoped to, everything would be different, everything. I'd have sailed away without a backward glance. Mother, do you believe in destiny?
Not at all. Though I have noticed that it seems to get up early in the morning and go to bed very late at night.
That's very clever.
It's not original.
You approve of my choice, don't you, Mother?
I like Celeste very much. I particularly like her spirit. I'd hate to see it broken.
I have no intention of breaking it. On the contrary, I'm doing what's best for both of us. By the time I get back, she'll be 18, a much more suitable age.
And what if you lose her?
I won't.
Always so certain.
I won't lose her.
What if you're wrong?
If I'm wrong, my soul will wither up and die. And that will be the end of Le Gentil. And if you ever tell her I said that, I'll deny it.
Why?
She has an instinct for the master stroke, just as I do, I suppose. Fortunately, I've had a little more experience.
My heart goes with you, all the way to India.
I'll miss you, Mother. Pray for me.
Oh, you don't want my prayers. There's no telling what my prayers might do. Drive you straight into the arms of the English.
I'm not worried about the English. You know as well as I do, with all our faults, God loves the French the best.
So, I was right. He has got a ship.
Finally.
Well, good for him. And good for you, Desmarais, and as for me, I'm sure he would have told me sometime before the turn of the century. When do you leave?
Tomorrow.
So soon?
It may be soon to you, but I, for one, had begun to think the day would never come.
It's all decided, then?
Oh, yes. There'll be no stopping him now.
What is it called, this place he's going to?
Pondicherry.
Pondicherry? Even the sound of it is strange. I can't imagine it. I don't even know where it is.
It's a long way from France. I can promise you that.
You don't approve of me, do you, Desmarais? Come, we won't be seeing each other for a long, long time. Why not be honest?
It has nothing to do with me one way or the other.
Oh.
I don't think you should have tried to stop him.
Is that what I did?
Well, you've made it awfully difficult for him to leave. You don't seem to appreciate what's at stake here. There are teams going out from half a dozen countries to more than 60 sites. Cape Town, Roderick, Siberia...
Have I really made it difficult for him? Well, he's going, isn't he?
Thank God.
So I don't see that it was ever very difficult.
I don't know what it is you're after. You asked me a question, I answered it. Because of you, he actually considered not going
actually
to India.
Actually considered?
He's a great man, Celeste. A great scientist. Why does that make you angry? It should make you proud. He's done more calculations on the transit of Venus than anyone in France. Possibly anyone in the world. It's because of his calculations that all these teams are going out. But how could you expect him to stay behind? His name, Celeste, is going down in history. I predict it. Because once this transit is over and the measurements are in, we'll be able, finally and conclusively, to calculate the distance from the Earth to the Sun. Think of it. The final problem of astronomy will be solved.
Desmarais, have you ever been in love?
Oh, no. And from what I've observed, I'm inclined to hope that I never am.
I can't remember a time when I wasn't in love. When I was 5 years old and my mother first came to work here, I used to creep into this room sometimes or into his observatory and watch him while he worked. He seemed so strong. Then later, all the years I was away, I'd lie in bed at night thinking of him. Picture him peering up into the sky through his telescope, and I'd imagine that instead of the moon or some cold star up there, it was me he saw. My face. You see, even as a child, I wanted... I wanted him to be as intrigued with me as he was with his damn stars.
Well, then, you should be happy. You got what you wanted.
Oh, but not the way I wanted it. I keep feeling that I've done something wrong. It's because of my mother, I think. We shouldn't take our happiness at the price of someone else's pain. That kind of happiness is tainted, isn't it? God would never condone it, would he?
Well, I don't know much about God.
No.
But if you're worried about this, you know where to go.
Where?
To a priest.
He's my priest.
Celeste.
It's the truth.
Then go to him.
I want you to do something for me, Desmarais. I've prepared a list of instructions. Celeste. Celeste! Damn. Well, she knows now, I suppose. Well, I'm not going to chase after her. That's certain. A little waiting may improve her, don't you think?
You wanted to see me?
Yes. That's a list of instructions, Demarais, from my solicitor. I want you to take it to him. Demarais? Now? You got my list?
Just now.
You manage all right?
There's a great deal to do and very little time. We'll manage. It's going to be a long 3 years, Guillaume.
Listen, Margot, there's something I have to say to you. I should have said it weeks ago, but I thought... Well, something unforeseen has happened, something rather strange.
It must be strange indeed. I don't believe I've ever seen you at a loss for words.
I'm in love with your daughter, and I intend to marry her when I return. With your blessing, I hope. There, that's all of it. You expected this, I think?
No.
I thought Celeste...
Not at all.
Or that you would assume.
Assume? What was I to assume? Clearly she's infatuated with you, but I'm hardly in a position to condemn her for that. And as for you, well, it didn't occur to me that... Have you told her? Yes, of course you have. She knows perfectly well that you intend to marry her. And Madame, your mother, she knows as well?
Yes.
Everyone knows. Everyone's known all along, apparently, except me. But now you've told me. Now, on the eve of your departure, why? If it wasn't necessary to tell me before...
It seemed important to clarify things.
Important to whom? Celeste?
To Mother.
Oh, she put you up to it.
She asked me to speak to you, yes.
Otherwise you wouldn't have bothered.
Definitely not better a hurricane sea than this.
Oh, poor Guillaume. I suppose I am behaving badly. Like a wife, in fact. When in reality it seems my role is to be that of a mother-in-law.
Margot.
Don't touch
please.
Me.
Please. For God's sake, Margot, you had to know.
How? How could I possibly know when no one would speak to me? Every time your name comes up, she flies out of the room. Every time I look at you, you turn away.
You could have asked. You could have come to me at any time.
As you could have come to me.
I was negligent, obviously.
This is my daughter we're talking about. This is my Celeste, my jewel. You want me to believe that you love her. How can I? How can I believe that a man in your position, with your experience, could fall head over heels in love with a... My God, Guillaume, she's so young.
I'm aware of that, believe me. That's why I think it's just as well I'm going away by
she's
the time I get
so
back.
She's so young and so impetuous.
She's a little impetuous.
Very.
Yes, all right, she's very young and very impetuous. This doesn't change anything.
I won't have her tossed aside. Not my Celeste. She's...
Enough, enough of this. I have told you my intentions, now you can plan around them. Do you understand?
Perfectly.
Good. Margot, I realize our relationship ended badly. But I wouldn't want to leave knowing you felt that I'd misled you in some way. I didn't do that, did I?
No.
You're sure?
Quite.
Good. Thank God for that. I have your blessing then? On this marriage.
What have I ever denied you?
Look at you in your nightgown and me fully dressed. And I say that God has no sense of humor. Understand? I think you do. Come sit down.
I only came...
I know why you came.
Sit.
I was thinking of you just now. I was thinking I'd try and find you wherever it is you sleep. It just occurred to me I don't know where you sleep or how. I don't know a lot of things I really ought to know. I've taken too much for granted.
All you have to do is ask.
But I don't always get what I ask for, do I, Celeste?
What do you mean?
I sent for you today. Three times. Three times you didn't come.
I know. I'm sorry, I was sulking.
Why?
Why not? I do it pretty well.
You were sulking because I'm going away?
No, not because of that.
Because
I want to be the one you come to first. Why shouldn't I be? Why must I always get things second-hand?
You wouldn't get them second-hand if you would come when you were sent for.
I don't like being sent for.
I know that, Celeste. That's precisely why I do it.
Oh.
I haven't slept a wink. Have you?
No.
Why not?
I was thinking about you.
Good. That's good, Celeste. But what were you thinking? Tell me, I want to know exactly.
If you want to know what I was thinking tonight in my room, I was thinking how angry you made me, how careless you are towards me, how you never tell me things. Today...
Come, Celeste, be honest. You were going to be upset no matter what I did, simply because I'm going away.
That's not true.
If I come to you first thing, you'd still have spent the day in tears.
I haven't been in tears.
Your eyes are as red as rhubarb.
Maybe I was reading.
Were you?
Yes. Why not? Sometimes I do.
What about?
What about?
What were you reading about?
Astronomy. Oh, you don't believe me. You don't think I have the mind for it.
Well, I've never said that.
Well, you don't talk to me about it ever. You've never explained to me why it is you have to go or where. Venus, India, Venus. What does that mean to me? I don't understand it, and I don't see how it matters next to me.
Then I'll explain it. Shall I? Shall I do that now?
How long will it take?
Come, we'll start with the globe, and we'll work our way up. What's the matter? I'm only going to show you where I'm bound for. This is France, you see? This little brown dot right here is Paris, which places us about here. You can move closer if you can't see.
I can see.
We sail from Brest. That's here. In 3 months, possibly four, we'll have rounded up the Cape of Storms, here at the southern tip of Africa, and put in at Ile-de-France. We'll lay over there, then sail northeast to India to one of our colonies, a little place called Pondicherry. That's here below Madras. Are you sure you can see?
Yes!
Upon his sherry, I'll establish my observatory. Tell me, Celeste. Do you like the names?
Names?
All the names of places I've never seen? I like the sound of them. I imagine them like jewels shining on the sea. I imagine I'll pluck them from the sea like pearls and wear them strung around my neck. Oh, that sounds foolish to you, I'm sure. Truth is, I've hungered all my life for travel and I've hardly set foot outside of France. Your eyes are remarkable.
Are they?
Oh, yes. To see such detail from such a distance, it's quite remarkable. Next year, on the 6th of June, for the first time in more than a century, Venus will pass across the face of the sun. I'm going to chart that passage, and my measurements...
It doesn't have to be you.
I beg your pardon?
Anyone can take those measurements. It doesn't have to be you.
Who told you that?
No one.
Then why would you say it?
It's the truth, isn't it? You're not going because you have to. You're going because you want to.
It's a matter of timing. If you want to know timing, resources, willingness...
Selfishness.
I'm going to tell you something, Celeste. Something that may surprise you. When I was 18 and my father was dying, he made me swear a solemn promise. He made me promise to become a priest. Me, a gentil priest. But I fully intended to keep that promise. I even began to study for the priesthood. And then one evening, quite by chance, I happened to hear a lecture by the great Delisle. He had just returned from Russia, from the court of Catherine the Great, where he had trained an entire generation of astronomers. I happened to hear him speak. And as he spoke, something in the room, something caught hold of me. And in that moment, my life was changed. The next morning, in spite of my promise to my father, I gave up the church. I began to study astronomy. Well, I knew, you see. I was absolutely certain. I had found another, better way to devote myself to God. Tell me something, Celeste. Tell me what you see when you look at the sky.
What everyone sees.
And what is that?
The sun and clouds, stars and the moon.
Do you know what I see? A thousand mysteries, each more intricate than the last, created by God for a purpose, to remind us of our mortality, to challenge and diminish us, to keep us hopeful, to keep us humble. No one, not the brightest servant, nor the sauciest wisp of a girl, can possibly look at the sky and not be moved to wonder. Oh, what a creation, Celeste. What a creator. What a privilege to be one of a handful of men able to probe those mysteries and, by probing them, help to justify the ways of God to man. Now, truthfully, Celeste, do you imagine I would allow myself to be distracted from such magnificent endeavors by anything or anyone? Least of all, a little convent girl too stubborn to send me off to India with a smile. Only teasing. If you did send me off with a smile, I'd probably wonder who you'd found to replace me.
I could never replace you.
That's right, you couldn't. Don't even consider it.
But you could replace me quite easily, I think.
Probably. If I chose to.
You really mean that, don't you?
Were you actually reading astronomy? The truth now?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
I was reading about something much more interesting.
Oh? What's that?
Love. You don't agree. You don't find love interesting. You find the sky interesting. Why? Because it's mysterious. Well, love is mysterious. You can't see it, even through a telescope. What could be more mysterious than that? What's the matter?
I'm listening. Go on. Explain it.
I just did.
So concisely.
I can't explain it very well. It's too complicated.
What a shame. I was just beginning to grow interested.
Besides, I'm not sure what to believe. There's romantic love, and that's one thing. And then there's what they call platonic love. I don't believe in that at all. Do you?
I'm not sure.
You know what it is?
I know what it is.
You've heard of it, but never practiced it.
I've tried.
You've tried? What a mistake. There's a poem in this book I'm reading. I'll recite it for you, if you like. Platonic love, a pretty name, but oh, it's something odd is that lovers should each other view as if they had no bodies.
Well, that's coming to the point, red cheeks and all. All right, come on, let's go.
What are you doing?
We can't do it here. I wouldn't recommend it. We'll have to find a bed.
I don't mean that. I don't mean like this.
What's wrong with this?
Just suddenly, because I ask you.
Well, do you want me to do it?
I want... Oh, God, I can't stand it. I can't stand the way you always twist me around.
Celeste.
You pretend you don't understand, but you do. You understand
yes.
perfectly.
Yes, all right, I understand. You want me to make love to you.
Once. Just once, before you go.
No.
Why not?
You know why not.
Then marry me.
I will marry you with great pleasure when I return.
Now.
There isn't time.
Delay your departure.
I can't.
Oh, you have an answer for everything, don't you? Don't you ever think about it?
I think about it all the time.
Then how do you stand it? Don't look at me like that. I'm fine, I assure you. It's not for me that I suggest it.
You were thinking of me.
I was thinking you might like to have a baby.
I would. Someday.
I meant a baby to come back to. Would you like one?
No.
So definite. And what about me? What if I want one?
But you don't. Come, Celeste, I know why you're saying this.
Why am I saying
this? Because you're afraid.
Of what?
Of losing me.
How do you know that? Oh, God. God, I wish I were more complicated.
You're complicated enough as you are.
No, no, that's not true. What I need, what I really need to have is a mystery buried deep inside. A puzzle or conundrum that must be solved and can't be solved too easily. That's important. But there's nothing in me that understanding it would add in any way to any mine of knowledge. No reputations to be made or lost. No seas to sail to find it. So what hope do I have? What hope did I ever have? Staring at me.
Come here, Celeste. I want to show you something.
I don't want to look at any of your cold stars.
Please. Look through that lens. Tell me what you see.
Oh.
Yes. I know. It's astonishing. Enough to stop the heart. Try again. What do you see?
Stars.
And?
A great white ball.
Venus. Brightest object in the night sky, brighter even than the moon. First star of the evening, last star of the morning, though not in fact a star at all, but a planet. A milky white luminous disk of a planet that gleams in the night sky like a star. No wonder men look at her and think of love. No wonder men love. For the Babylonians, it was a luminous lion that roamed the night sky from east to west. But the great god El was jealous of its brightness, so every day at dawn he had it put to death. And every day at dusk, the lion rose from the dead to roam the skies again. For the Mesopotamians, it was the goddess Ishtar, queen of the heavens, daughter of the moon or the wind. She was a lot like you, this Ishtar. She was young, beautiful, she was impulsive. quite contradictory. She was often seen in the company of a lion, and when the lion roared, well, that was thunder. For the Greeks, she was Aphrodite, goddess of love. For the Romans, Venus. And for me, Guillaume le Gentil de la Galassière. She is destiny. What's the matter?
The way you talk.
Do you like it? If you like it, I'll fill your days with it, and your nights as well. I'll tell you all about the stars and the moon and the planets. And you'll tell me about love. And when we've exhausted those subjects, if we ever do, we can argue about how beautiful you are. But not yet, Celeste. First, I go after Venus. Then, I come back to you. Will you wait for me? Can you trust me and do it? You can, I know you can. I can read it in your eyes. Oh, my God, Celeste. Isn't it incredible? With all the things I've got to look at in the world, that my eyes should fall on you.
I'm so afraid.
Listen to the bell.
Promise me you won't forget the little face of Celeste.
How could I?
Promise me you'll come back.
Oh, I'll come back. God willing.
I don't think it's absolutely certain God approves of us.
Wasn't it God who brought us together in the first place? Go back to your bed, Celeste. Sleep and dream of me. Can you do that? Can you dream about me while I'm gone?
Yes.
Then I'll be with you every night. What more can we ask than that?
July 1766.
Madame? Still sleeping. Camisoles, 3 dozen. Petticoats, 2 dozen. Under petticoats, 2 dozen. Night shifts, 11. Nightcaps, 4. Dressing gowns, 3. Stockings, 12 dozen. Summer
gowns. Was I dreaming, or did I hear a clock?
It's past 9.
9? Surely not.
You've been dead to the world, madame. How you can sleep at a time like this?
Will he get here any sooner if I stay awake? You were going to check on Desmarais.
I did.
And?
He's up and about.
Well, he's feeling better then. Margot. He said something, hasn't he?
No, madame.
If he said something that concerns my son, I have a right to know. Margot.
It's not so much what he said as what he won't say. He won't speak of Le Gentil, not on any issue.
Well, of course he won't. He shouldn't.
But he's so evasive. He won't supply a simple yes or no to anything I ask. He seems reluctant to look me in the eye, and when he does, he makes me fearful. I can't help it. He makes me fearful for Celeste.
And what else? Come. I know there's more.
No, you're mistaken, madame.
Do me a favour, Margot, would you? Don't tell me lies, not even little white ones. The last thing I want to have to think of when I go to bed at night is you on your knees to the Lord begging forgiveness for some silly little fib.
He said, your son is bound to disappoint.
He said what?
I asked Desmarais if there was any danger that your son would disappoint Celeste, and he said he's bound to.
Bound to?
That's what he said, madame. That was all he would say.
What a world we live in. Who can explain it? we rise up from the banquet table and drop dead of hunger.
Now I've upset you.
Life upsets me. There's nothing new in that. Bound to, you
I didn't say. Want to worry you, madame.
What does that mean, anyway, bound to? That's a cryptic phrase, if ever I heard one. If he disappoints Celeste, Margot, he disappoints us all.
I know.
He won't do it. I don't believe it for a minute. He may not be perfect, my son, but he is steadfast. That much I know. He's written to her faithfully all this time.
That's true.
Which is more than we can say for Celeste.
That's true as well.
A man who persists in writing to a girl too proud to reply is not the kind of man who disappoints. Especially when he's so proud of himself. Oh. Oh, God, Marco. She may have lost him doing that. I said it. I said it all along.
I beg your pardon?
I warned her.
On the contrary, madame, you encouraged her.
I did nothing of the kind.
You did, you know. She asked how you would feel if she were to stop writing to him, and you said that while you couldn't condone it as a mother, as a woman...
Well, if I said that, I don't remember. My poor embattled mind, my memory.
Your memory is remarkable, madame, when it needs to be.
Well, well, well. She retaliates. That's a change of pace.
You're very quiet, the two of you. Are you talking about me?
Heavens, what conceit.
More flowers, Celeste. The room's like a garden.
I know. I like it. It looks gemütlich, as the Germans say.
May look gemütlich, but it smells like a perfumery. I take it there's no sign of him?
None.
Well, I don't know why I should be so impatient. At least we know that he's in France. That's a consolation, isn't it? He's not off on some desolate island.
Bobbing about like a cork in the middle of the sea.
They're not desolate, those islands. They're lush and verdant. The smell of jasmine and frangipani, I wish I knew what that was like. And at night, the sky drops down around them like a great bejeweled bowl.
He does write a lovely letter.
He does. I didn't get that from a letter, though. I got it from a book.
You and your books. If you'd spent half the time on housework that you've spent on books...
Oh, she can always learn housework.
I know you feel that way, madame. You've often said it. When, in fact, if you'd supported me...
supported you, what would we have? Two excellent seamstresses, when clearly all we need is one.
This is because of him, isn't it? Because he's late. All your preparations...
But there's nothing that won't keep.
The food...
The food will taste just as good tomorrow as it did today.
You've worn yourself out looking after Desmarais, and you've hardly slept at all.
Since when?
Since we got word that they'd reached France.
Nonsense.
I know you, madame.
I have slept like a newborn babe.
Well, everything's fine, then. What a relief.
Where are you going?
For a walk.
You're not.
Always running out on us.
I can't sit here twiddling my thumbs, you know that.
That's no reason to go wandering through the fields in that dress.
At this hour?
All right, I'll change.
Oh, no! He could arrive at any moment, Celeste.
Well, if he does, I just assume he didn't know that I've spent the entire day looking like this.
Celeste, your mother went to so much trouble.
Never mind, madame. She's been waiting all along for an excuse to do this.
That's not true.
She didn't want to wear it in the first place. She finds it overdone,
you
see. I
didn't want to look as though I was trying to impress him. That's all I meant.
No, you said
that's
that
a very strange attitude.
Is it?
Towards the man you're going to marry, I should say so.
Well, this is an improvement. Now you're picking on me instead of one another.
You're quite right, Celeste. We're behaving badly.
Why, madame?
Why? Well...
It's my fault, Celeste. I take the blame entirely. And if you want to change, by all means, go and do it. It's silly to be quarrelling about a dress.
Please understand, it's not that I dislike it. How could I? It's exquisite.
I just want you to look beautiful. Is that so strange?
But to me, this seems almost like a wedding gown.
It is not at all like a wedding gown, is it, madame? Tell her. She'll listen to you. Madame?
Look at it, would you? Did you ever in your life see a day so...
Lovely.
I was going to say so French. She has to know, Margot.
Madame.
How can we send her into battle utterly unarmed?
What are you talking about, madame?
I'm talking about Desmarais.
What about him?
Oh, madame.
Your mother, you see. Just before you came in, your mother was as crotchety as a nanny goat. So in the end, we had a quarrel over something that he said.
Dennehy, I thought he wasn't well enough to talk.
Well, he's not. Well, that is...
You said he wasn't.
Was delirious. Well, he was, Celeste, at first, and then for a few days he refused to talk at all.
But now he's talking. What does he say? It's about Le Gentil, isn't it? What is it? Is something wrong?
No, listen, Celeste, we mustn't jump to conclusions.
Madame?
Ask him yourself. He's up and about, apparently.
Celeste, don't upset him. He's not as well as he pretends. Celeste!
You probably think I shouldn't have done that. Where the devil cannot go, he sends an old woman. That's what you're thinking. She has a way of taking the sun with her. Have you noticed that? When she leaves the room.
Where are you off to?
Oh, I came to see you.
Oh.
Yes, they told me you were out of bed.
Did they? They were right.
I would have been to see you sooner, but I was told that you weren't well enough to talk. Are you well enough?
I think so.
Good. I'm glad to hear it, Demaray. We've been worried about you. My mother in particular has been worried.
She certainly has.
I see you've been studying my map.
You made this. When?
As the letters arrived.
Explain it to me.
It's as simple as it looks. The ribbons mark the voyages. The flags, the ports of call. Each colour represents a different year.
Red is the first year, that's obvious. And green must be the second.
The year he missed the transit. You'll notice there's not a single flag on India. The white and the blue. Dozens of ribbons and as many flags.
Oh, those wretched excursions.
Fifth year is yellow, and the sixth, magenta. Magenta is the colour that brought him home. If I'd known that, I would have used it sooner. I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk as though you weren't there with him.
But I wasn't. I was on another journey altogether.
He said you hadn't taken all that well to the sea.
Yes. He would put it like that. But tell me something. Why did you do this?
It was my way of going with him. I have other maps where I've done latitudes and longitudes and trade winds and navigational routes. Everything he studied and observed. Flora, fauna, soils, winds and tides, monsoons.
How did you learn all this?
From his letters and from books. I've read every book in this house, I think, and any I could beg from the curé. History, geography, philosophy, letters, even a little astronomy. Do something for me, Demarais. Tell me about the sea.
The sea?
I like to try and picture it in all its splendour.
In that case, I suggest you wait for Le Gentil. He's much better than I am at splendour.
I would love to see the sea. I would love to sail it.
You would never survive.
I might surprise you, Demarais.
Believe me, you would not survive the sea. That takes a kind of madness.
You survived it?
I lived. That's a different thing.
What about the sailors?
Mad, all mad.
And Le Gentil?
He's the maddest of the lot.
Oh.
You don't believe me.
Of course not.
You've been with him, have you, all this time?
I have his letters, 162 letters, every one of them as rich as a tapestry.
Oh, well then, you have nothing to learn from me.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, Demarais.
No?
But I know he isn't mad, unless he's changed beyond all recognition. Has he changed, Demarais?
We've all changed, haven't we?
For the better, I would hope.
One can say.
Is he as handsome as he was?
I'm hardly an authority on that.
You could venture an opinion.
You could wait a while. Find out for yourself.
He hasn't been ill, has he?
Why ask me? You're the one with all the letters, 162.
He might have kept it from me if he'd been ill, so that I wouldn't worry.
Oh, for the love of Christ! Say what you've come to say, would you? Then leave me the hell alone! I know why you're here. Do you want to know how I know? Because you behave exactly like your mother. Sniffing around me like a fish you scented bait. Oh, God.
Come and sit down.
Merciful Christ.
Sit down until it passes. Put your head back. You'll feel better in a minute.
My God. You know,
you're what?
I'm terrified I'll never get over this.
You'll get over it.
I should have stayed in bed.
Perhaps.
I was sick to death of my own thoughts. I haven't had a conversation since I got here. No one comes to see me. Not even you.
I was forbidden to.
You do as you're told now, do you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
When I must.
He's going to be amazed, you know. There was hardly anything to you when we went away. Now you're quite grown.
Do you think he'll be pleased?
Oh, I don't see why not.
You don't see why not? Try to restrain your enthusiasm, de Marais.
It's not my place to tell you that you're beautiful. He's a lucky man.
Not so lucky, perhaps. He missed the transit, didn't he?
That was my fault. Oh, and I know he'd never say that, but it's true. We couldn't get to Pondicherry. It was under siege. But we might have sailed to Java. He could have charted the transit there. But I was ill. I was eternally ill. And he refused to leave me.
Oh, de Marais.
I was a weight around his neck from the moment we left France. I was sick at sea and sicker still on land. I was homesick. I was lonely. I was scared to death. He never said it. He never once reproached me or complained. But I could feel his expectations for me fading with each day. You're shocked, aren't you?
No.
You are. I can see it in your face.
I can't believe that none of it was any good. There must be one good memory.
I do remember one afternoon. We were somewhere off the coast of Africa. One of the sailors fell head first from the crow's nest into the sea. I asked him what made him come down, and he said, common sense. I liked that. I like little things. Le Gentil, you know, he likes things vast. Me, I like them small. I like to be able to reach a thing and hold it in my hand. That's a remarkable dress you're wearing.
Is it?
A dress like that makes a man feel very welcome. What's the matter? What did I say?
Nothing.
I wasn't referring to myself.
I know.
You have a great capacity for anger, haven't you? I don't think I'd want to be the one who usually inspires it.
I'm not angry with you, de Marais. I'm angry because I'm stuck here in this fluffy, fluffy gown waiting for a man who's always late. Look, it's almost dark out now. Will he arrive at all tonight, or will I have to make do with another dream? Oh, de Marais, I can't begin to tell you how tired I am of dreams.
I understand that.
Do you? I wonder what you'd say if I were to tell you that I've dreamed of him every night since he's been gone.
I'd say that's quite a feat.
The curé doesn't approve. He thinks I should dream of salvation, but I dream of Le Gentil. And in the morning, do you know what I do? I open the little chest where I keep his letters and I read them all again. I've committed them to memory, but I read them anyway because I like to study the handwriting, to imagine him forming each letter. Everything he touches, everything his eye falls on, is beautiful to me. Do you think that's wrong?
Not necessarily.
The curé does. The curé has for some time denied me the Holy Sacrament because of Le Gentil.
Listen to me, Celeste. I know how you feel. Because there was a time when I felt the same way. I wanted to be like him in every way. But I've learned. I've learned that only God is perfect. And that it's wrong to look for God in Le Gentil. It's wrong, Celeste. And what's more, it's not fair to him or to you.
What are you saying?
He's a man, Celeste. Sometimes he'll exceed your expectations, sometimes he'll fall short. If you expect it to be otherwise, don't expect it to be otherwise.
Where are you going?
Back to bed.
Now, you say this and then walk away.
I can't say any more, Celeste. There was a time you couldn't have pried a word against him from my mouth. But I've come to see the world for what it is. And I know that sometimes there's more beauty in a little act of kindness than in all the splendour of the universe.
You think you've done this out of kindness? You're fooling yourself. It's not kindness, de Marais, it's jealousy. You're jealous of him because you know in your heart that you're not like him at all.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I'm not like him at all. When I first understood that, I thought I'd die of shame. Not anymore. Because I've decided that God planned for this. He knew all along there'd be little men, as well as great. He made room in his heart for both. After all, if he could imagine the universe, he could certainly imagine me.
I thought you'd never come.
Le Gentil?
Le Gentil, yes, in the flesh.
How long have you been here?
Hours.
Hours? But we've been waiting for
you. Like vultures, I know. Come here, Celeste. You're not afraid, are you?
Of course not.
My God, who would believe it? Right in the heart of France.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? And why do you call us vultures?
This room... it's like a dream to me. And everything that happened here, a dream. We said goodbye here, didn't we? I seem to remember.
You seem to remember?
No. I remember. There was moonlight, wasn't there? It washed the room. You came to me half-dressed and half-asleep. You begged me to seduce you.
Did I?
Oh, yes, you came right out with it. I liked that. Damn near did it, too. You look confused. How could you forget these things? It's not so long ago.
Only 6 years.
Seems like yesterday to me. How was my mother?
She's waiting for you. She's waited patiently for hours. We expected you at 4, you see. We had everything planned.
I'm sure you did. There's an odour of expectation in this place. Not just in it, everywhere. I got wind of it as far away as Paris. Did you always stand like that?
Like what?
Never mind. Sit down.
I beg your pardon?
I said sit down.
I don't want to sit down.
Well, do it anyway.
Why should I?
Because I want you to. There's something about your attitude, the way you stand, the way you hold your arms... I don't care for it.
You don't?
Care for it.
I don't give a damn if you care for it or not. I don't know who you think you are. I don't know what you think you're doing. But if you expect me to stand here and put up with this...
Not at all. I expect you to sit here and put up with it. Celeste, I'm sorry. You look so serious. As though the end of the world were at hand. It's not the end of the world for you, is it? My coming home?
Of course not.
Then why do you look as though it is?
You seem so different.
In what way?
You're constantly interrupting me. I've hardly been able to finish a single sentence. What are you grinning about?
Nothing.
I don't find any of this amusing.
I know. Go on, Celeste. I'm listening.
I can't remember a time in this house when we've been able to have a conversation that didn't eventually, no matter what it was, come back to you. I can't remember an hour when your name wasn't mentioned in 6 solid years. Not one of us has gone to sleep at night without praying for your safety. And you come home, come sneaking home like a thief in the night and call us vultures.
You mustn't take offense at that. It has nothing to do with you. It comes of feeling suddenly caged. You have to try to think of what I'm used to. What I've had the blessed fortune to grow used to.
And what's that?
Infinity. Infinity, Celeste. No end to anything in any direction. East, south, north, west, up, down, anywhere. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine what it does to a man's soul? When I left here, I thought I had some measure of the mind of God. I thought I knew what vastness was and distance. Density, all those things. I was naive. Every day I was away, I learned anew, and with a kind of fresh surprise, how infinite is the mind of God, how intricate, and how varied. And now I'm back. And everywhere I look, I'm seeing walls and roofs and limits. Even the land has a way of closing in on me. You can understand that, can't you?
I think so.
Good. I was hoping that you could. Come here. Come here, Celeste. You're not going to, are you?
No.
You won't sit down when you're told to, and you won't come to me when you're called. What am I to understand from this?
I'm not a little girl anymore.
I can see that.
I won't be led around by the nose.
Is that how you remember it?
Precisely.
And I remember it the other way around. What do you make of that? One of us has to be wrong. Have a little pity on me, Celeste. No matter how we began, it wouldn't be as you imagined. I was bound to disappoint you, wasn't I?
Not necessarily.
Yes, I was, and I'll tell you why. You were expecting someone else, I think.
I was expecting...
someone pale and sappy and sentimental. Why deny it?
I was...
don't look for a storybook suitor, Celeste. You won't find him in me.
The last thing on earth I want, believe me, is a storybook suitor.
I'm glad to hear it. What do you want?
A real one.
In that case, you must expect some imperfections. Am I right?
Of course.
What are you thinking? Tell me.
You don't look at all like I remember.
Are you afraid of me?
A little.
I'm glad.
Why?
Because I find that I'm terrified of you. It's the dress, I think.
The dress?
The dress, yes. Definitely, it's Quite elaborate, isn't it? Almost like a wedding gown.
It's not at all like a wedding gown.
No, well, what would I know? Where I've been, women don't bother much with clothes. Some of them don't bother with clothes at all. I'm glad to see you still know how to blush, Celeste.
I wish I didn't.
What did you say?
I said I wish I didn't, and I hope that soon I won't.
There's that candour that I like so much. Thank God you haven't lost it. Thank God you look the way you do, exactly as I'd hoped. No, better, even better. You put me in mind of a ship.
A ship?
She was called La Marielle. We were somewhere east of the Seychelles. That's
just north of Ile-de-France.
You did read my letters. That's a relief. I suppose you memorized them, too.
Of course not.
We were becalmed. Had been for days, an eternity, it seemed. One morning I heard the captain say to the mate, look out for a squall today. I thought he must be joking. The sea was like a duck pond, not a cloud in the sky. At about midday, a breeze sprang up. The sea began to swell and roll. The captain came running. All hands on deck, make fast for a flying squall. They went up like a swarm of monkeys. But before they could finish the job, it was on us. A mountain of storm. It hit us with such force. It knocked La Marielle clean on her side. I thought we were lost. I did. By God, I thought for certain we were lost.
You never told me this.
But she recovered herself. It took her a second or two, but she did it. She weathered that squall, came through it as though she were charmed. Because for all her grace and speed and splendor, she had the heart of a man of war. She haunts me, La Marielle. I look for her everywhere. Are you jealous?
Of a ship?
It's not a joke, Celeste. Could you marry a man who is in love with a ship?
When you left, you were in love with the sky.
Oh, I'm still in love with the sky. The sky, the sea, the tropics. I fall in love quite readily, it seems. But only with a truly splendid. Are you truly splendid, Celeste?
I'm afraid not.
You look splendid.
Do I?
You look like La Marielle. But are you like her? If you were knocked flat on your side by a flying squall, would you recover?
I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. If you're saying that you don't want to marry me...
Of course I want to marry you. My God, haven't I come halfway around the world to do it? But you must understand who I am, Celeste. You must be clear about that. The places I've been... They've changed me. I know now how vast the world is and how beautiful. I believe we're meant to respond to that beauty. Not in a miserly fashion, but with all the freshness and fullness it deserves. I believe we're meant to live always on the edge of discovery. Oh, I don't know if I can explain it in a way you'll understand. But something happens when you get out there. Time dissolves. Weeks, months, days, these things don't exist. Only the moment exists. And the will to live it fully. You feel a little drunk sometimes. You actually feel quite giddy on the power of the moment. You feel as though your life is an odyssey. And that to live it less fully than you can would be a travesty. Oh, how can I expect you to understand? How can anyone understand odysseys when all they've known is needlework?
This may come as a surprise to you, but I don't know the first thing about needlework.
No?
No. I don't do it, you see. I don't do any of it. I don't baste, I don't sew, I don't knit, I don't mend, I don't darn, I don't tat, I don't embroider, and I do not do petit point. I do, however, read. And because I can read, I can learn. Oh, I can't actually travel. You have the advantage of me there, but I can read about travel. I can dream about it. I can imagine what it's like. I've been everywhere with you. You don't know it, but I have. I know every inch of sea you've sailed, every island you've set foot on. I know how the rains come sweeping across the mountains of Ile-de-France. And I know how the island itself lies curled in the sea like an oyster. I know about doldrums and trade winds and tides. Tides! Tides are so mysterious. We've known about them since the days of Alexander, yet there's so much we don't know. Why? For instance, there are two high and two low tides every day in some places, and only one in others. Why, the tides of St. Malo rise almost 10 meters, and only a fraction of that on the islands you visited. They do. Did you know that?
No.
I want to know why. This was your gift to me, you see. You pointed me at the sky and said, look. And when I looked, what did I see? Mirrors. Mirrors reflecting mirrors reflecting mirrors on and on into infinity. So much to know. So much to learn. So much to wonder about. Once you begin to wonder, it's impossible, isn't it? Inconceivable to abandon that sense of wonder for anything as straightforward and mundane as a needle and a piece of thread.
My God, Celeste, I had no idea. To think you would do this. This is wonderful. I can't tell you how delighted I am. I can't begin to tell you.
I was hoping you'd be pleased.
Please, there's nothing you could have done that would have pleased me more. This is wonderful, Celeste. This makes everything possible, because once you know what it is to wonder, to have that hunger, I've travelled the world. Seen such beauty, it would stun the mind, but I haven't seen anything anywhere as beautiful as you. Will you marry me, Celeste? Immediately, without reservation?
Yes,
good. Wonderful. Now, where would you like me to take you? We're going away together, just the two of us. I want you all to myself from the day I marry you until the day I have to leave. We'll start a family. You wanted to do that before I went away the last
leave.
Time.
Leave? You're going to leave? Of course you are. How stupid of me. This is what you've been saying all along.
Celeste. Stop it, Celeste. Come sit down. Please. Sit down and I'll explain. I have always suspected that there were better places for charting the transit than Pondicherry. I did some calculations and I found one. It's called Manila.
What does it matter? The transit is over. What does it matter now where the best place was?
I'm not talking about the last transit. I'm talking about the next one. The Academy wants someone in Pondicherry.
Michael.
But I'm making a bid for Manila. From Manila, a man could sail on to Mexico, down the coast of South America, around Cape Horn, and home across the Atlantic. A complete circumnavigation of the globe.
You're going away again. You've just barely walked through the door, and you're going away.
Not immediately. Not for months.
How many months?
8, possibly 10. I intend to spend them all with you.
How long this time?
How long will I be gone? 3 years. Oh, I swear to you, Celeste, on everything that's holy, 3 years, no more.
What if you miss it?
The transit, I won't.
You missed the last one?
That was because of the war. There is no war now, thank God.
What if it's cloudy?
That's unlikely in Manila. That's the point.
What if it is? You'll be going back to chart the next one.
Definitely not.
You say that now.
There won't be another transit of Venus for more than 100 years.
And you let that stop you?
Try to understand, Celeste.
It will be the end of me.
Don't say that.
It will.
You'll ride right through it. You'll ride right through it and come out stronger and more splendid on the other side.
Oh, I see.
I know you have it in you. I'm counting on that.
I'm not a ship.
You know what I mean.
I'm not a bloody ship.
Please, try to understand. I have to finish the work I started. I chose to serve God in a different way. But I haven't done it yet. I haven't done what I was meant to do. All I want, Celeste, is the chance to pull a single slender thread from the veil of ignorance we wear that clouds our understanding of the universe and of God. If God intended to deny me this work, why would he have allowed me to watch the first transit? Why take me all that way only to strand me on a ship at sea where I could watch the transit but not measure it? There had to be a reason. And this is what it was, to ensure that I go back to chart the next one.
You can't be certain that's the reason.
I am certain. I searched for that reason for a long, long time. And finally I understood. It's my life's work, Celeste. Everything I've learned and seen and done has been a kind of preparation for it. I'm suited to it. Body, mind, and soul. This is what I mean about the will to live life fully. I have that will, and I have it for a purpose.
Shanti, take me with you when you go.
What comes to this?
I won't be any trouble. I've studied all of it. I know about the seas and sailing. I know all about the stars. You can teach me to assist you. I can help.
Absolutely not. It's dangerous. It's unhealthy. Look at Demophil.
Look at you.
No! Definitely not. I'd never risk it.
Don't leave me. Don't go off and leave me again. Le Gentil.
For the love of Christ, stop calling me Le Gentil. My God, if you're going to marry me, isn't it time for something a little less impersonal?
There'll be no marriage.
You don't mean that.
I do.
You're only saying it because you're upset.
I need you, Guillaume. I don't know if you understand what that means, but I need you. I'm sick to death of making do with dreams and letters and a phantom lover. I want a real lover. I want a husband. I want a family. I want a future. My life is an odyssey, too. Why must it be played out on such a tiny map?
What would you have me do? Stay home, grow miserable, difficult to live with, possible to please. Useless and idle.
You wouldn't have to be idle. You could find something to do.
Such as?
You could write your memoirs.
Oh, that's for old men. I'm 41, Celeste. I am strong and healthy. I still need what's difficult to try my hand at and not what's easy. I need an idea in my mind large enough to scare the hell out of me. That's the only way I can function.
Don't leave me. I'm begging you.
Don't.
Don't ever beg. I won't compromise, Celeste.
Neither will I.
I'm warning you. If you persist in this foolishness, I won't linger here trying to change your mind. I will leave immediately.
Perhaps you should.
I can, quite easily. I can get a ship within a fortnight. I can be back in the tropics by Christmas.
That should make you very happy.
It will, believe me.
What are you waiting for? Do it. Do it, Guillaume. It'll be easier for everyone.
Don't you dare walk out of here like this. Don't you dare do this. Don't ask me to choose. I can't choose. I wish my work were here. It's not. I wish I could take you with me. I can't. For your sake, I wish I were another kind of man, but would you love me if I were? Would you? I need to be able to count on you, Celeste. I need to be able to dream about you while I'm gone. If you won't marry me now, at least tell me you will wait. Tell me you will wait, Celeste.
How did this happen? I don't understand. Of the dream that was my life, this is the nightmare.
If I go back immediately, I can save time on the other end. I can arrange to leave for home right after the transit. Will you wait for me? If I can do that, will you wait?
How do I know you'll ever want to stay? How do I even know you'll come back?
Oh, I'll come back. I will, Celeste. Because you and I are fixed by God in a kind of orbit. I circle around you like a planet around the sun. No matter how far I wander, you always draw me back. You always do, Celeste. You always do.
There'll be no excuses this time. No delays. Once the transit is over, you must come straight home. I'll be waiting for you, but only on that condition. I won't go on forever competing with the universe. I won't do it.
November 1771.
Ashanti, is it really you? What a shock you've given us. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when I got your note. I hardly dared believe it. Guillaume?
Where is she?
I beg your pardon?
Celeste, where is she?
Oh, I couldn't simply leave a message. You have to understand. I felt I had to speak to her in person. That's why I'm a little late.
She's coming then.
I was interrupted again and again as I came through. You can't imagine the sensation you've caused. They're saying you've been raised from the dead, like Lazarus.
Is she married? Is she married, yes or no?
No.
No. God be thanked. She's not ill?
No.
That's all I ask. Come and sit down, Margot. Please. I've just come from my solicitor. My former solicitor, I should say. Naturally, I dismissed him. He tells me that my mother has been sent away.
She's with her cousin in Lyon. We had no choice, you see. Once they decided that you must be dead...
I want you to go and bring her back.
When?
Immediately. Tomorrow.
Guillaume, I have another position now. I can't simply...
Give it up.
Give it up? Just like that?
Yes. You belong here, Margot. This is your home. If you like, I'll send a note to your employer. I'll tell him I've been raised from the dead. That ought to inspire him to oblige.
I'm afraid it's not that simple.
Margot, please. I am trying to put my life back together. Don't impede me.
Your life, Guillaume? Your life is only one of several which have been quite drastically upset. You can't come walking in here after all this time and start demanding things. Expect us to all fall in line.
Please, try to understand. I've spent 29 months trying to get home. 29 months, and everything has gone against me. And now, when I am finally able to stand under my own roof, look at it. Just look at it. In my worst nightmares, I never imagined I'd be coming back to this.
How did it happen, Guillaume, that we didn't hear from you? The last letter Celeste has arrived a full 2 years ago.
For a time, I couldn't write. I was ill.
ill?
I was flat on my back for 8 solid months. Couldn't find the strength to sit, let alone write. Couldn't get out of India to save my soul. And when I did, when I finally got as far as Île-de-France, it was only to fall ill again. Eventually, when I was well enough at last to go on, every ship I set foot on carried me into some fresh tragedy. If anyone had told me a few years ago that the day would come when the sight of the sea would make me want to weep, I...
But why didn't you let her know, Guillaume? One letter to say that you were alive.
I was ashamed. I used to know what I was meant to do. I was meant to unravel God's great mysteries, but I was wrong. Sometimes, Margot, sometimes I still feel quite confused. I don't mean up here. I mean, in my heart, I look back and search my life, and it seems to me that in my confidence, in my supreme self-confidence, all I've brought to everyone I've loved and been loved by is pain. What a legacy. Clearly, I must set things right. I'm afraid there was a time I caused you pain as well.
Oh. If I denied that, I'd be denying that I ever cared for you. And that would be a lie. I did care for you once. But I cared much more for Celeste.
I often thought of Desmarais while I was ill. I've been wanting to ask about him. Something tells me it hasn't gone well for him.
No.
Oh, God.
I'm afraid.
No, don't tell me. There's only so much bad news a man can stomach in a day.
Where will you stay tonight, Guillaume?
Well, here, of course.
In this empty house? No heat, no food?
I don't need either.
On the contrary, you need both, especially when you've been so ill. I was going to suggest...
I'm staying here.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
My home restored to me. I want everything as it was, exactly. You'll fetch my mother home tomorrow. If you need a letter, I'll write one. In fact, I'll write it now.
I'll get it later if I need it. If I decide to fetch your mother.
If you decide?
I think you should prepare yourself, Guillaume. You've had many disappointments today, but you should prepare yourself for more.
I know my mother's mind is gone. I know that. She needs attention night and day. That I know as well. I intend to see the... Celeste. How do you do that? How do you manage to grow more and more beautiful while the rest of the world grows grey? Celeste? I'm glad you've come. Your mother wasn't sure you'd do it. I knew you would, though I realize it's been a shock for you to discover I'm alive. It's been a shock for me to discover I've been dead.
Why don't you sit down, Celeste?
I dreamt this. All of it. I dreamt it over and over. Long after they said that you were dead, long after I forced myself to believe it, I dreamt you were alive and had come back to me just like this. And I stood here staring at you. And I couldn't speak for pain.
Celeste.
I couldn't understand. It made no sense. Why not joy instead of pain? It was terrible. It always woke me up. And then I'd remember that you were dead and none of it was true. It was an invention of the mind echoing the agony of the heart. It was never meant to be true.
Come and sit down.
No, I can't stay.
I have to leave soon. We'll walk back together.
Where are you going?
To air some blankets.
No, Mother.
He insists on staying here and the house is very cold.
I need you here.
I know. I won't be long.
Is she all right?
She will be.
My God, Celeste, I'm sorry. It didn't occur to me that they'd take it into their heads to declare me dead. I hope you understand that. If I'd known they'd done that, I don't know what I'd have done.
Well, it doesn't matter now.
You're sure?
I have what I want.
You look so beautiful. Just to look at you makes me feel 35 again. What have you been doing to become so beautiful?
What do you mean?
Nothing. Well, for instance, do you still like to read?
Not as much.
You're not still fascinated with the tides?
Not really.
What do you do then with your time?
Needlework.
Seriously now?
Needlework. It's odd, isn't it, to be sitting here? I didn't expect to see this room again. Your mother would be so impressed with your escape from the deep. We thought you'd drowned.
I know.
We saw you lying at the bottom of the sea, your bones picked clean long since by little fish. We found it easier to think of you that way. We had a lot in common, your mother and I.
I wanted to get home, Celeste. More than anything in the world, I wanted to get home to you. I'd have walked the oceans if I could have.
No, don't say this. I don't want any explanations.
Celeste, you have to let me explain.
No, I don't have to. And if you insist, I will leave immediately.
Celeste, for pity's sake.
You got your measurements. What else matters? I knew you would, even from Pondicherry. If it was ever cloudy there, you didn't mention it. The nights here are of the greatest beauty. You cannot imagine how stunning is the sky that falls around me on these perfect scented nights. You remember that, I'm sure. Today the wind is from the southeast, a good omen. This wind is called the broom of the coast and always brings serenity. That was early on the morning of the transit, so you got your measurements all right. But you weren't ready to come home. For whatever reason, that's why the letters stopped. And if that's not true, then I don't want to know the truth.
In all these months, I have been engaged in a kind of struggle with myself, and also in a way with God. I thought, you see, I always believed that God had hidden his most precious secrets where they would be most difficult to find. I would look at the sky or the sea.
I don't want to hear this.
And know that there the challenge lay. It didn't occur to me to look elsewhere.
I don't want to hear this.
It didn't occur to me that perhaps he had created all those things for another reason.
I don't want to know anything.
Celeste.
I have it all constructed in my mind, and I won't allow you to get in there again and tear it down. I won't allow it.
I'm to be condemned without a trial, is that it? Even the worst of criminals is allowed
there, that's done. Ah. Did I interrupt?
Yes.
No! We have nothing to say that cannot be said in front of you. Is that not so, Guillaume?
I don't wish to be rude,
but... He's there, you see. He doesn't wish to be rude.
Celeste, we have so much to say to one another, so much to talk about. I want to get to know you again. I want to know if you still dream of me. Do you, Celeste?
I see you at the bottom of the sea, a skull with gaping holes where the eyes once hung, a space inside the skull so vast and inhospitable no thought can linger there, no thought of any kind, of Venus or of India, of the sky or ships or tides, and certainly no thought of me. I like that. I like to think of all that space within your skull and nothing flowing through it but the sea.
What kind of talk is this?
Guillaume!
What do you expect me to do, Celeste? Apologize for staying alive?
Of course not.
Celeste?
The reason I've come here is to tell you that I'm going to have a child. I'm very happy about this, and I hope you'll do me the great courtesy of being happy for me.
Whose child? Whose child are you expecting?
Does it matter?
For the love of Christ.
I don't believe it matters.
You don't believe it matters. It looks as though it's the father who doesn't believe it matters.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, where is he then? Doesn't he know where his duty lies? What kind of man is this?
A gentleman.
A gentleman? He's no gentleman. If that was my child in your belly, if I was his father...
It isn't, and you aren't.
I want to meet the father.
No.
I insist on meeting
him. It's not possible.
Why not?
The father is dead. He intended to marry Celeste, but she delayed. And now he's dead.
That sounds like a story to me.
Guillaume!
It sounds like the sort of story people invent to protect the honour of a woman who has none.
That's right, I have no honour. Thank God for that. I never much liked it anyway.
I know that well enough. You were always trying to give it away.
All I needed was a man who cared enough to take it.
Stop it, both of you! You're not going to tear each other into little pieces, not in my presence. Do you understand? Now, I want you to sit down, Celeste.
No, I'm going to leave.
You are going to sit down, and you are going to do it now. I understand how difficult this is for you, but you must remember that in her condition, your very presence is a shock to her. I cannot allow you to go on in this way. If you persist, I'll take Celeste away from here immediately. Do you understand?
Of course. Please forgive me, Celeste. I had no right to say that.
It's I who should apologize. I'm sure there was a better way to tell you, but for the life of me, I couldn't think of it.
Listen,
I'm going to emigrate to New France.
New France? You can't be serious.
I am, as soon as the child is old enough to travel.
Margot.
If she goes, I intend to go with her.
And what do you expect to do in that wilderness?
Begin my life. I hope to get a position as a governess, perhaps even as a teacher. It's a rough place, but it has a future. And I want my child to have a future.
Listen to me, Celeste. These plans of yours, they may have been necessary when you thought that I was dead. They are not necessary now.
They are?
No, they're not. I want to marry you, Celeste. I don't care who the father is. I don't care if he's alive or dead. It's irrelevant. I'm asking you in all humility.
to be my wife. After all this time, it still gives me more pleasure to look at you than at anything else in the world.
Do you see, Mother? Do you see how it is? What are you going to do with a man like this? This man? This man never learns when to come and when to go and when to simply stay away.
Tell me you will marry me, Celeste.
It's too late, Guillaume.
No. It's not too late. I won't accept that. I won't allow you to do this. I will not allow you to throw away your future and mine as well because of one fateful indiscretion.
What? No, you don't understand.
Let it go, Celeste.
I grieved you, Guillaume. From the moment I understood that you would break your promise, long before they said that you were dead, I grieved you. At first, I went to him simply to talk about you. He'd been with you through so much. He knew you so well. It was almost as though by touching him, I could reach you. Then one day, I looked at him and everything had changed. I realized I wasn't grieving anymore. Somewhere along the way, the thing I never thought was possible had happened. I'd stopped loving you. It wasn't you I wanted to be close to. It was him, because it gave me so much joy. And I didn't just love him a little bit. I loved him with everything I had. I loved him the way I'd wanted to love you. I had him for 7 months. 7 months. It seems to be my fate to fall in love with men who go away.
He caught pneumonia a few months ago. He'd had so many relapses, each one left him weaker than the last.
You did what you were meant to do. You came into the world and looked around with your bright, impressionable eye. You chose the most exciting thing you could imagine doing, and you did it. You let the beauty of the world and all its mysteries touch you and transform you. You kept an open heart. For all those things, I loved you. But I don't love you now, and I never could again. And I can't pity you.
I never believed I'd lose her. When I missed the first transit, even after I missed the second, she was always there. She shone for me in the distance, like the sun.
You missed the second transit? Oh, Guillaume. We assumed all along that
I heard the sandbar moaning from the southeast early on the morning of the transit. This made me think the wind was still from that direction. I was elated. This wind is called the broom of the gods, and it always... Did I say gods? I meant the coast. It's called the broom of the coast, and it always brings serenity. But I was wrong. The wind had changed. The sky was covered everywhere in cloud. And in Manila, where I would have been if I'd had my way, the skies were perfectly clear.
I have to go, Guillaume, to see that she gets safely home. There are beggars everywhere these days, and they seem to prey on women. Guillaume?
In Transit of Venus, Celeste was played by Kelly Hunter and La Gentille by Anton Lesser. Margot was Dinah Stab, Madame Sylvie was Doreen Mantle, and Desmarais was Simon Ludders. Transit of Venus was written by Maureen Hunter and directed in Wales by Alison Hindle.